Welcome to Curve Culture with Diva Girl Ellie. What is curve culture, you ask? It's a celebration of the true beauty and essence of being a woman with a heart. Here on Curve Culture, let's immerse ourselves into a true sisterhood, celebrating our commonalities and unique differences, and of course, being a wonderfully made woman. Every day, we're given an opportunity to create that new masterpiece, that new work of art, that new you. Sisters, wherever you are in life, if you're looking for your tribe of beautifully souled women, then you've come to the right place. I challenge you to make those new connections with some really amazing women, but most importantly, that deeper and more meaningful connection with yourself. Get ready, ladies. I invite you to step into these truth conversations about women, for women, by women, here on Curve Culture with Diva Girl Ellie. Thank you so much for joining us on Curve Culture with Diva Girl Ellie. Today, I have the honor of hanging out and getting to reacquaint myself with an old friend of mine, Sherelle Weems. I'm so excited to have you here, Sherelle. It has been a minute. Thank you so much for joining Curve Culture today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here, like you said, to get reacquainted and chat with you and be here. So just thanks for inviting me to be here.
So you have been a really busy woman. First of all, you're an entrepreneur, you're a businesswoman, you are a mover and a shaker, but recently you've been really in a different light out in the world. And this light is more visible now to everybody. And I'm so excited that you're here because it involves an incident that happened. And I want you to tell us your story in your own words. And again, I'm so happy that you're here to tell this story because it does involve a life-threatening situation. And it is the month for it to be told. So I want to go ahead and give you the floor to go ahead and talk about that. Give us a little synopsis of what has been going on with you lately.
Sure. So again, you know, thanks for having me here to share my story. That is kind of like my new purpose, you know, in this world, is to kind of, you know, kind of shed light on what I went through and hopefully help people avoid going through that situation as well. So, you know, as you mentioned, you know, I've been an entrepreneur, you know, for the last 10 years and, you know, I'll say right around end of 2021, probably during the pandemic, it was, you know, I'll say it was a crazy year for most people. And even for me, it was as well. I'll say, like, depending on, you know, what kind of business you were, for some people, it was a crazy bad year, you know, with, you know, a lot of circumstances going on. But I'll say for me, things were like incredible just because, you know, I have an online business. A lot of people were trying to switch online. So, you know, things were really busy and like my business exploded, you know, over 2020 and 2021. And around November 2021, I was actually in the process of like launching a brand new program that I wanted to launch out into the world. And so I was working on that feverishly, excitedly, waking up early every morning and working late into the evenings, you know, all of that like month of like November or it, like October, maybe beginning of 2020. And so that's significant because of what I went through. I remember when I came back into my office and looking at the dates on some of my files, it played a role. So what I experienced was on November 5th, well, yeah, it was like Friday, November 5th, 2021. I went out to a dance event. So another, I guess, kind of fun fact about me is I am a competitive West Coast swing dancer. Yeah. I've been doing that for like the past 10 years, or actually, I guess around 12 years. And so we had an event, a very small event, you know, because post-pandemic events coming back were, you know, pretty small at the time. And so I went to a convention at a hotel where there was a competition happening and, you know, watched the competition. And then after people compete, then we dance all night. Literally, people think we're crazy. My brother always asked me, he's like, what kind of cult are you in? Like, what kind of grown people dance until the sun comes up? Because we do. So by that time, it had transitioned into Saturday, November 6th. It was around 3:30 in the morning. Oh, man. And I was dancing with a really good friend of mine. His name is Dion. And we were maybe about 2 minutes into the song. And we came out of a move. And suddenly, I just remember feeling extremely dizzy. And I just remember looking at him. And I'm sure my words were not as eloquent as they are now. There might have been a little bit of profanity, but I just remember saying, like, I am really dizzy right now. And then the next thing I remember was, you know, just kind of things fading to black.
Oh, man.
And I remember kind of catching myself, you know, like, I think I went to bend over just to kind of catch myself because I didn't know what was happening, but I did know, I was like, okay, this is not normal. And next thing you know, I was waking up 10 minutes later. And what I found out happened was that I had a heart attack in the middle of the dance. And so when I felt dizzy, it was essentially that was just my heart not getting enough oxygen. And so he caught me. Luckily, when he heard me say his name, like, Dion, I'm dizzy, he knew something was really wrong by the way that I said my name. And so, or by the way that I said his name. And so he caught me. Luckily, I didn't fall to the ground, but I kind of fell on him and he fell back. And, you know, then he kind of proceeded to yell over the music, you know, as loud as he could for nurse, you know, we had a nurse that we knew was there. And so he, you know, proceeded to kind of scream for her to come over. Some of the other people who were watching also, one was a nurse, one of my friends there, and she saw what was happening. And, you know, she immediately thought that I was having a seizure. So she gets up and she's, you know, someone starts running for water and she picks up a fan or, you know, a folder and, you know, starts fanning me. And then some of the other nurses came over, but she said, you know, she's just like, Sherelle, I watched you and I thought you were having a seizure because I've seen some of my clients have a seizure. But she was just like, all of a sudden I saw you take your last breath and, you know, your eyes just went blank. And, you know, she was like,
oh man,
that look, I've seen that so many times. And so, yeah, luckily, and then she just kind of went into shock. And I think she was just staring like, this can't be real. Luckily, you know, there were a couple of other nurses who were there. One came over and were like, okay, check her pulse. They didn't find a pulse. And so they all three kind of proceeded to kind of tag team. One of them did CPR one of them did chest compressions. The other nurse who went into shock, they snapped her out of it. And so, you know, she breathed for me and did the air while she was doing the chest compressions while the other nurse, you know, they kind of traded off doing compressions. And that wasn't working. And so, you know, luckily, I would say I was very blessed that day. There just happened to be a lot of random medical professionals who were there. And so someone there also just happened to be, you know, EMS, the medical emergency services. And so he ran and got his bag that had the AED in it. And then, you know, they came over and they were, you know, shocked me, had to shock a couple of times. But eventually it worked. They were able to shock my heart back into rhythm because essentially what happened was since I had a heart attack, the heart attack caused my heart to start beating out of rhythm, which then caused me to go into cardiac arrest, which, you know, when you go into cardiac arrest, essentially your heart just stops. And so when you have cardiac arrest, the only way to be revived, like if you have a heart attack, a CPR can revive you and, you know, and get you back into regular rhythm. But when you have cardiac arrest, you have to have an AED in order to kind of shock your heart back into rhythm.
Wow. Yeah. There's so many things involved in that I can't even imagine being there and watching this unfold and just the blessing of having that many people in the medical field be there at your most need, your, you know, a time of need. And I mean, it was a life or death situation. And a lot of things that come to, there's so many things that come to mind, but one of them is the fact that we think we're okay and we're not, because when you had announced it to, you know, to the world, to Facebook, what had happened to you, I was like, how in the world could that happen to Sherelle? She's so active. She's a dancer. She's constantly moving. And right away, it put me in the mind frame that we immediately have these preconceived notions of what can happen to who. And it immediately jolted me because I'm thinking if Sherelle, who's super active, it happened to you on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Can you imagine all the people that are taking their daily life for granted in the, I'll do it soon. I'll do it one day. And
yeah, it's so true. I mean, look at DeMar Hamlin, 24-year-old athlete on the field. It can happen. And, you know, that's, I mean, it can happen to anyone at any time. And so it's like, we have to stay ready, you know?
So obviously having this miracle, this blessing of not just the way things unfolded, but the fact that you were able to, you know, make your full recovery and that you are now giving your personal testimony of the magnitude of education, of educating people on the process of this whole situation, bringing light to it, especially people that, you know, may not think they're affected by it, or they don't know, they just really don't know. And you have to advocate for them. And just how has this changed your life? Because obviously I see what happens to a certain extent on Facebook with what you share. And I'm just floored at how this happened. And your life is in a completely different place right now. And a lot of it is just an amazing journey that you've been on.
Yeah. Well, and I think for someone like me and one of my friends, he's always like, he's just like, you don't know how to sit still, but it's true. I don't know. I mean, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
I agree. I know you. You do not.
I'm just like, I don't know where that came from, but I will say, like, even in the hospital, like the next day, and people thought I was just absolutely insane. I'm like, I don't know. I just immediately knew that it was placed in my heart. Like what I went through, I was like, I felt like God orchestrated what I went through, and he wanted me to take this message. First of all, it was a wake up call for me, because what I do want to, you know, talk a little bit more about was how I also ignored the signs. Right. And so I didn't do the things, you know, I was ignoring. Well, I mean, to a certain degree, my body, like I would say, like, you know, I just like everyone else, when the world shut down in March, 2020, our dance convention shut down, the social dancing shut down, like, you know, and that was my main form of exercise, because, well, I didn't like to go to the gym and all that stuff. I was like, well, dancing is fun, so I can exercise that way. And so when everything shut down, I kind of shut down too. And so I went a really long time without any sort of physical activity. And I think that that really did accelerate maybe the progression of probably something that was going to happen eventually anyway, just because, you know, from, you know, some of the things that I'll share with you. But so I felt like, you know, I just felt extremely out of shape, you know, and I'm like, and that was what I told myself. I was like, well, I've been sedentary for a long time. I haven't really been dancing. So when the world kind of started to open back up, and I mean, I would get heartburn, you know, and I'm using air quotes for those who can't see me right now, but I was having this burning sensation in my chest that I just chalked up to, like, oh man, you know, I'm extremely out of shape. I've been sitting so long. So I would walk from like my car to the grocery store door, and I would be having like this burning sensation in my chest. Mm-hmm. And again, now I know it's because my heart wasn't getting enough oxygen. But again, I just chalked it up to, oh, I'm just really out of shape because I haven't been moving in a while. And oh, you know, must have been something that I ate that gave me indigestion, right? Mm-hmm. And so I really, I ignore those signs a lot. And even when I did decide to finally go to the doctor, I still, like, I remember I was like, okay, well, I'm having heartburn a lot and I feel out of shape. Okay, maybe there is something going wrong. Like, I even got to the point where I'm like, okay, maybe there is. Mm-hmm. And I called telehealth because I was still afraid to go to the doctor, you know, because, you know, vaccines weren't out and stuff like that yet. And so, you know, they were just like, well, I mean, it sounds like it's heartburn, but, you know, due to, you know, your family history, because my father passed away of a heart attack at 42, it was like, you know, due to your family history, you know, maybe you should go get it checked out. But then me, and in my mind that probably a lot of other people would do, it's like, oh, well, he said it could be something, but it's probably this. So I'm just going to go with, you know, the easy thing. Like, it's probably just heartburn, right? And again, I kept ignoring it. And so, I mean, that is part of the reason why you know, like I said, I felt like what I went through, it was God's wake up call to me. Like, okay, Shira, I've been for this last year, I've been giving you these burning sensations in your chest. I've been trying to tell you something is wrong. You don't want to listen. So I'm going to go ahead and really wake you up. But then I also felt like he was pinning it on my heart to get the message out to the world as well. And I just immediately felt that was placed upon me. And I just felt like, okay, well, that's my new mission. That's my new purpose in the world, is to get the message out.
And you absolutely have. You have stepped into the role so graciously and just started sharing your story, and not only the story that impacted you in your life, but the fact that you were celebrating your heroes as well. You know, you absolutely carried them in your journey. After it happened, it didn't just stop where they helped you. I see the pictures of you celebrating life with them. I see you, you know, mentioning them often. And it's so admirable to be able to not just call them your heroes, but they're your friends, you know? And so I think that is just an amazing thing to witness, especially them who were there. They know what happened. They saw it firsthand, and they are watching you evolve into a completely different person. Like you said, you're stepping into that role. And now I see you coming out on all these interviews. Tell me a little bit about the fun side of what happened and how how your world is changing through your testimony for everyone to know about.
Sure, absolutely. I'm happy to share that. And I do want to just touch on the fact that, yes, those ladies, they're absolute heroes. Also, I didn't do anything. Like, I survived, but I only survived because of them, you know? So it was like, I didn't do anything but lay there. They did all the work. And honestly, they deserve all the glory and the accolades and everything. Of course, just, you know, and it's just the nature and the way that our world is set up. You know, we end up hearing a lot of the survivor stories and what we went through. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I just feel like all shine and recognition goes on them. They did all of the hard work. So anytime that I can kind of help them, you know, elevate, I mean, because they have their own side of the story. There's a survivor side of the story, and then there's a hero side of the story. We all went through our own traumas, you know, had to get therapy. One of the nurses, I mean, she had to get therapy. So yes, I mean, I just wanted to just take a moment definitely just to kind of recognize them, because they, without them, I wouldn't be here, and they are the true heroes. Nice. But yeah, I mean, so I think the big thing for me this, you know, over the course of the last year is partnering with the American Heart Association. Obviously, you know, I am being a woman who is struggling from heart disease. The American Heart Association, they have kind of like an initiative that a lot of people don't know about. And honestly, I didn't know about it until I became a survivor myself. Mm-hmm. But so it's called the Go Red for Women. And really what it is their Go Red for Women initiative. What they do is they bring together every single year a class of survivors. So it's around, you know, between 10 to 12 women who are willing to share their stories. And we call it the Real Women Class of Survivors because, you know, the American Heart Association or any other organization, we can talk about how heart disease is the number one killer of all Americans, regardless of age, race, mm-hmm. you know, gender, all of those things. We can talk about that all day long. We can talk about how, you know, heart disease kills more women, you know, than all forms of cancer combined. Although most people think of women, we think of breast cancer, right? Exactly. Or we think of ovarian cancer. We don't really realize that, no, actually it's heart disease, you know, that's really killing us. And so, but we can talk about those statistics all day long, but what really has the impact is the real stories. And so that's why they pull together a group of what we call real women, you know, who come together to share their stories, to create awareness for heart disease and how it affects women. And how it affects also certain segments, you know, of women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to share our stories so that it really resonates with people. Just going back to what you said earlier. Yeah. I mean, looking at me, like you said, I'm a dancer, you know, mm-hmm. If you thought about someone who had a heart attack or cardiac arrest, probably I wouldn't be the first person, you know, who would kind of come to mind.
You fit the profile that we have in our heads.
Exactly. And so like the Real Woman Class, they do such a good job of bringing together a group of survivors. We have one woman who, she had her heart attack at 14 years old. She's 23 years now, started suffering heart failure, you know, a few years later at 23. I mean, the age range spans from, you know, someone who had it happen to them at 14 years old, all the way to, you know, we have a woman who's in her 50s. And so again, it's to give real stories in different faces mm-hmm. of heart disease so that, like you said, people will understand. Like, for me, I always thought this is something that happens to other people, right? You know, exactly. We always think, that's so sad, you know, what happened to XYZ's cousin or XYZ's husband or XYZ's daughter, but it's always the other people. But the reality is it can happen to you or a loved one at any moment in time.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that shedding those preconceived notions of what we believe, what we imagine a sick person with heart disease or, you know, who's a candidate, that's the perfect candidate. Somebody who's overeating, who's eating the wrong foods, who's living a sedentary life. And so I think it's so powerful. Like you said, when you put a face to someone and think, oh my gosh, She was an athlete. She was very active dancing. It snaps you out of it and it makes you more aware. And I know that, you know, I don't know if it's paranoia or whatnot, but now ever since I've been reading your stories and watching them, it's like, I need to pay attention to my body. I need to listen to what my body's telling me. And you almost want to be actively chronicling something that's happening to you, because as you get older, which a lot of us are in denial about too, we get older and we don't want to acknowledge the fact that our body does have normal wear and tear. But in that interim of that, there are other things that could be revealing to underlying conditions. So we need to get in the habit of chronicling these things that are happening to us, taking notice. And when you're brought up in a culture where you don't go to the doctor, where you don't talk about things that are happening wrong with your body, or you just don't talk about anything at all, and you just suck it up and push through it. Yeah. It's so crippling for your existence. And I can't even imagine, you know, having to suffer through that. And then just out of nowhere, something happens and then you're blindsided. Your life changes because you or a family member, has, you know, had something like this happen, and that can lead to tragedy. And thank God that you had your heroes there with you. And that's not going to be the case for everyone, unfortunately. So that's being true. Aware, I want to talk about, you know, that not being the case for everyone. What can you tell us just from your experience and the fact that you did have the blessing of having people there that happened to be trained medical, you know, people, responders? What would you tell someone who doesn't have that luxury?
Yeah, I mean, the truth of the matter is only 1 out of 10 people who suffer cardiac arrest outside of a hospital survive, right? Mm-hmm. And the majority of cardiac arrests and heart attacks happen outside of the hospital. So, I mean, when you look at your chances of survival, it is slim unless, but there's a flip side. If, you know, your chances of surviving are slim, but that's only because a lot of bystanders aren't trained in CPR, mm-hmm. or they don't know what to do if an emergency happens. And even for women, our chances of survival are even less, because a lot of people don't want to perform bystander CPR on women because they're afraid that they might be accused of violating a woman because we have breasts and, you know, things like that. Totally. And so what I really want to share as it relates to that is two things. So one, what I want to share, in case you ever find yourself in a situation where there is someone around you that you see that, you know, they have lost consciousness, you know, the way that we talk about it with the American Heart Association is it's a two-step thing. One, check for a pulse. If they don't have a pulse, call 911 and then start CPR. But I know there is some hesitation in people's mind when I share that around. It's like, gosh, you know, I don't want to be held accountable if, you know, they feel like I violated them or something like that. Just, I want to make sure that everyone is aware of the good, you know, like there's a good Samaritan law, I think that's what it's called. So it's just like, if someone needs your help and they need medical attention and you can help them, like, you are legally protected. So you don't have to worry about, you know, trying to help someone. So that's first and foremost. But then of course, second, I mean, I think going along with this message is just like really learning, like making sure that you and or all your loved ones, you know, really learn CPR. Especially right now, American Heart Association is really pushing the hands-only CPR, mm-hmm. especially because, I mean, we live in a day and age where a lot of people may not feel comfortable, you know, doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And hands-only CPR really teaches you, you know, how to, you know, provide like the heartbeat rhythm, which for someone who loses consciousness due to a heart attack or cardiac arrest, that helps them maintain oxygen, you know, get oxygen from their heart to their brain. So, you know, until a medical, you know, medical, EMS, you know, can come and provide assistance as well. So, you know, I recall, and I'd just like to share the story because this is just how crazy life is. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks before my incident, I just happened to be scrolling Facebook and I saw a video about CPR, you know, that popped up on my news feed. And I just remember I pulled it up and I watched it and I'm just like, okay, let me watch this. And I said, you know, I wonder if my guy knows how to do CPR, my guy CJ. So I walked into his office and I was like, do you know how to do CPR? He's like, oh, I had training, you know, years ago. And I was like, I really want you to watch this video. I'm like, it's just us here. If something happens to either one of us, we need to know how to do CPR. And, you know, and I love him to death. But, you know, his response was, oh, man, if that happened, I don't think I would know what to do. And he didn't watch the video.
Oh, man.
I thank God every day that my circumstance happened where it happened, you know?
I know he's singing a different tune now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because 95, I mean, or probably more percent of the time, you know, we're here, you know, in the house alone. So luckily it happened outside of that 5%. But sure, now, I mean, of course, he's attended the CPR trainings, you know, that we've done. But so I just wanted to give a perspective. I mean, like, I was that close to not being that 10% of survived had it just happened, you know, at the home, because no one else knew CPR. But the reason why I survived, the reason why I have like full mental capacity, because even a lot of people who do survive, they don't have full mental capacity because of lack of oxygen to their brain. But it was because I got CPR immediately. And because, you know, they acted fast. So it's just like, just understand, like, you learn how to do CPR and just make it a point to make sure that everyone else, you know, learns how to do CPR, because you never know who's going to need it, you or the other person, you know?
Absolutely. And you have to think about those things. I know you, I mean, just the fact that you were almost like a foreshadowing moment, and it's so weird how it, thankfully, you know, thankfully it didn't happen at home, and you just have, you can never be prepared for something like that. And just to have the foresight to, you know what, this happened to my friend. I need to go and check into getting, you know, CPR certified or whatever it is, and taking the steps. And I know there's plenty of there's no excuse not to.
No excuse. Yeah.
There's so many places that offer it free of charge. There's so many places that offer it often. And I mean, this month being American Heart Association month is the perfect time to be reminded. Watch the stories, not just Sherelle's, which anytime you post anything, I'm crying. I'm just a, you know, we haven't seen each other in so long, but we go way back.
Always love.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so to see you always shining and being successful is absolute happiness for me. But to know that you're still here and that your light is shining for other people now in a different way. And I know that there's all the emotions are wrapped up in this, and there's a bigger purpose for everything that you went through. And now you're able to show that you turned your pain, your literal pain, into a purpose, and you are fulfilling your purpose through all of this. So that's so amazing. So I'm so thankful that you're sharing this with us. I'm so excited and to be able to release this to the public and be a part of that in a small way. And so if you have any kind of bits of wisdom for closing out, what would you tell someone? You know, what if we were just me and you having coffee, you're like, Ellie, this is what you need to know.
Yes. So yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for allowing me to kind of share some key points that I want people to take away with. I can't drive it home enough, so I'm just going to say it one more time. Again, learn CPR. Encourage everyone around you to learn CPR. I'm telling you, if we had hours, I could share stories with you. It makes a big difference. That is the reason why I'm here alive today. So I just can never stress that enough. So definitely do that. Second of all is know your numbers. I mean, a big key in preventing, you know, heart disease and heart disease related illnesses like, you know, strokes, heart attacks, cardiac arrest is really understanding, you know, what are your cholesterol levels like? What is your blood pressure, your triglycerides, your sugar and insulin levels? And that is so easy to track if you just go to your physical. Go do your physical once a year. I know I was taught growing up, like, every year you go get your physical, right? But that's only one part of it. So right, what part of it is knowing your numbers. And I'll say on the flip side of that, right, don't do what I do. Actually listen to what your doctor tells you. If you find out, you know, so it's like, it's one thing to actually know what your numbers are, but then it's the other side of it is to actually listen to what the numbers tell you. Mm-hmm. So if your doctor says like, hey, you know, your cholesterol levels are elevated or your, you know, your blood pressure is elevated, we think that you should, get on medicine right now. I feel like there's a lot of stigma around taking medicine, especially when it comes to these kind of things, especially when you're younger, you know, because one, you know, I would get on my medicine, I would take it for a little while. And then I would say, oh, I don't want to be on medicine the rest of my life. I'm going to fix it on my own. So I went on this fad diet and I would lose a bunch of weight. And, you know, I would do these things to get the weight off. But the truth of the matter is weight, you know, is not necessarily correlated to health. And a lot of people don't necessarily realize that. Yes, there is some correlation between weight and health, but there can, you can be 110 pounds and have a cholesterol level of 514 like me, or you can be 300 pounds and be totally clear. So don't make any assumptions based on that. But so yes, know your numbers, but then also really listen to your doctor in terms of, you know, what they feel like your treatment plan should be and actually follow it. Again, don't be like Sherelle, actually follow it. And then the last thing that I would say, you know, these all kind of build on each other, but it's just like, you have to listen to your body. I think a lot of us, we feel stuff. Like I felt something was wrong with myself for a year leading up to what happened. And I can definitely think of several ways in which if just this one test was run, you know, that it could have prevented me from finding out, you know, how bad things really were. I didn't have to have a heart attack or cardiac arrest to find that out if more extensive tests were run. So with that said, the last point would be advocate for yourself, like really listen to your body. If you're feeling like something is wrong, and you go to a doctor and they send you home, or they're just like my doctor, I finally did go. And they were just like, okay, well, yeah, your cholesterol is elevated, you know, go do this, come back in 8 weeks. Well, no, something was really terribly wrong. I didn't have 8 weeks. So if you're really feeling like something is wrong and you're just being sent away, or you feel like you're being put off, go see another doctor, get a second opinion, do your own research and press, like, you need to run this, you need to test for this, talk to your friends, you know, get second opinions, but like, just really advocate for yourself. So those are kind of the four things that I just hope everyone really takes away from this conversation.
Absolutely. And I know a lot of times we feel that we're not educated in the medical field. So why would we know? But honestly, getting to know yourself to the point where you feel comfortable enough to, like you said, advocate for yourself and say, no, something's not right. A lot of people don't have, they just are scared to talk up to a doctor because he's the doctor, you're the patient. But absolutely, anytime something doesn't feel right, you know, I've had a doctor tell me they took my temperature. And I'm like, you never put a thermometer in my mouth. How are you going to tell me that you took my temperature? And she wanted to argue with me. So absolutely advocate for yourself. And so thank you so much for all of these tips and just the insight that you have, you know, given us with the unfortunate situation that you went through. But at the same time, it was your wake up call. You are wide awake. You're advocating for yourself and you are definitely giving your testimony for a reason. And I truly am so blessed to have you here today. Thank you so much for sharing that part of you. Now, just on a quick happy note, obviously, that's a lot of serious stuff. What does the future hold for Sherelle, whether it be related to this or just in general?
Oh, that's such a great question. So I just feel like God has so many amazing things in store for me in terms of my business. I'll just say I had a lot of downtime to heal, you know, from everything that I was going through. And he just planted all these seeds in ways that I'm able to incorporate like my skill set and knowledge from a business perspective and my passion for being able to help and serve others. And so I just see like an amazing like purpose and passion filled entrepreneurial journey kind of coming down the pipeline. So definitely stay tuned. I have some fun stuff coming.
I don't doubt that one bit. And I know whatever you do, it's going to be fun and it's going to be energetic because you're right. You do, cannot sit still. So there's still a lot of work for you to do here, Sherelle. Thank you so much for joining us today on Curve Culture with Diva Girl Ellie. I'm so happy that you had this chance to do this with me. Obviously, it was way overdue to reconnect with you. And so I am so glad that I will be able to share you with the rest of the world. So thank you so much for joining us on Curve Culture with Diva Girl Ellie. See you soon.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Curve Culture with Diva Girl Ellie. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Stay connected with me on social media. You can find me on Facebook as Curve Culture with Diva Girl Ellie, for Instagram at Curve Culture with Diva Girl Ellie, and Curve Culture with Diva Girl Ellie at hotmail.com. Let's build our Curve Culture community and stay connected. Till next time, Divas.